But somebody is going to redig those wells and preach like a man on fire and prophesy until miracles begin to happen in the church again.
Change is very uncomfortable, but God specializes in disturbing the comfortable and then comforting the disturbed.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. I'm so excited to be coming to Abba's house for All American Day on Sunday morning, July 7th. We'll have some great inspirational patriotic music from the choir, orchestra, and ensembles as we celebrate the freedom we enjoy as Americans. And I have a very timely message to bring to you that day called America's Coming Implosion. Through my years and experience as a pastor, my role as a Fox News contributor and a member of the White House Faith Initiative, God has given me a unique perspective on our nation. I promise that you don't want to miss this important message. I can't wait to see you at Abba's house on Sunday, July 7th for All American Day.
Hey, what's up, Chattanooga? It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Abba's House and founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. I want to bring you our Fully Alive conference today. Two of my heroes. First, one of my mentors, Jensen Franklin, who pastors the great Free Chapel Church in Gainesville, Georgia. They have about 9 satellite campuses. He is an advisor to the President of the United States. God has used this humble man to touch the world, and I am proud to call him mentor. He was here for our Fully Alive conference, and man, he brought the house down, and he told us how we should dig up old wells. You know, sometimes it's good to embrace the new, but sometimes if you're going to really be touched by God, you got to go dig some old wells. You're going to be blessed by Pastor Jensen Franklin today. I hope you'll enjoy this.
We're going to redig the wells that built this church. I'm saying to you tonight that the wells of modesty, the wells of morality, the wells of holy matrimony have been clogged up, but we're going to redig those wells. The wells of sacrifice, the wells of servanthood, the wells of sanctification have been plugged up in a new generation. But somebody, an Isaac generation, God's gonna have them. They're gonna redig that well. The wells of revival, the wells of repentance, the wells of restoration have been plugged up. But God's gonna raise up somebody in this area, in this church, who's gonna redig those wells of revival and restoration. I'm gonna preach some more. The wells of powerful preaching and praying and prophesying have been clogged up, but somebody is going to redig those wells and preach like a man on fire and prophesy until miracles begin to happen in the church again. The well's still there. Let's get the dirt out and hit the water again and see what God's going to do. Somebody take a praise break and give God some glory if you're hungry for more. Turn to somebody and say, it's time to dig those wells again. I shouldn't be giving my children any less than what my family gave me. They covered up the wells. And if the enemy can, he'll try to do the same thing in every family under the sound of my voice. I like what it said. It said, Isaac digged again the wells of his father. In other words, Isaac realized, I don't need a new well. That was a good well. I don't need a new message. I don't need a new way. It's the real thing. I just need some calluses on my hand. I just need to get an old-fashioned shovel. Get some of this dirt out. Problem is, we've gotten used to drinking dirty water. It's not that we don't have water in the church, but we've gotten used to diluted water, polluted water, dirty water. We've gotten used to dirt mixed in, or the world mixed in, so much that there's enough to keep us alive, but something's missing. I have a thirst to drink from the old wells of Bethlehem. Ooh, I feel like preaching tonight. I have a thirst to drink from pure water. There's joy in that water. There's happiness in that water. There's power in that water. There's healing in that water. And I like what it said, Bishop. The Bible said Abraham or Isaac redug the wells, but Abraham had named. Did you catch that? He put names on those wells. So in other words, the wells that were named represent somebody who was here before us. There's somebody in your family who dug a well, or you wouldn't be here. And you've got a family well that some old granny that may be in heaven, she dug it. And you've allowed the Philistines to clog it up, and it's been a long time since you had a good sip from the old well of Bethlehem. But tonight the Lord said, preach it and I'll back it up. I'm going to give them an old-fashioned shovel and they're going to hit water again. And when you hit that water, you're going to come alive. I love the fact that he named those wells. That's what messed me up. He redigged the wells, and he didn't rename them. I just want to preach, you still got to repent from sin, and I'm not going to rename it. You still need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're going to die and go to hell, and I'm not going to rename it and tell you that you're going to be all right. Just take a little Jesus and any old road will get you there. No, it won't. You'll go to hell, and I'm not going to rename it. You still got to come out from among them and be separate. Or if you're just like the world, you are the world. And I'm not going to rename it. I'm not going to rename sanctification. The baptism in the Holy Ghost doesn't need a new name. You need to get drunk in the Holy Ghost and get full of the living water and lose your pride and leave here saying, I've been endued with power from on high. And I'm not going to rename it. There's only two eternal destinations. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And I'm not going to rename it. Neither is there any other name whereby men can be saved. That name is Jesus. And if you're living in sin, you're a sinner, and I'm not going to rename it. And if you're getting married and you're gay, I love you. I'll do anything I can to help you. You're welcome here. This church embraces you and loves you. But I'm not going to rename that and tell you you're married. You're not married. You're in sin. And if you're shacking up with your girlfriend, you're in sin too. I'm not going to rename it. And if you're getting drunk, you're a drunk. And I'm not going to rename it. See, we need some old wells that are not renamed. Then we'd get some conviction back, and then we'd get some joy back, because you don't have any joy riding the fence. You have joy when you're sold out, when you're all in, when you're completely surrendered. That's where the victory is. And I'm not going to rename it in a modern generation that wants to mix in the dirt with the water. Holiness don't need another name. That ain't no dirty word. Some of you thought I just cursed. Holiness. The Lord said to tell this church to redig the well of worship. He said there's a deep well of worship that broke out, that was dug. The revelation of worship. Not praise and worship time, but the well of worship. Yeah. We cannot lose the well of worship. Worship is not a time filler. It's not a talent show. We must keep worship opened up. Genesis 22 and 5, Abraham said to the servant, "Abide here with the donkeys." Your King James says asses. "And I and my son go yonder to worship." So ladies and gentlemen, you have a decision to make. You can stay in the valley with the donkeys and the do-nothings, or you can ascend the mountain of worship and encounter Jehovah Jireh, the God who will meet your every need. But you will not have that Jehovah Jireh experience without true worship. And you got to get the dirt out. What's the dirt that clogs up worship? Pride. Performance. Entertainment. Abraham took a knife, a wood, and his son, and he said, "I'm going to sacrifice," and he called it worship. I'm going to worship. The well of worship must be redug over and over and over in a church. I've had to do it at Free Chapel. When we first started out, it was like our worship was almost uncontrollable. It's almost like I had to fight to get to preach because so many sinners in the middle of the preaching or in the middle of the singing would run to the altars and get saved. And I would have to make the people leave. Still like this out in California. Something's going on in California. I preached out there last weekend in our church. We had over 4,000, I'm not exaggerating numbers, in the three services that I preached. And we could not get them to leave after I preached. And it wasn't my sermon. The worship team just started worshiping, and people wouldn't leave. Thousands of people, they would not leave. Y'all remember those days? Come on. Redig that well. Where's your worship at? When's the last time you had tears streaming down? You remember when we used to get in my office, Brian? You remember when we used to get up there and put old Jimmy Swaggart on? We had some, this is how old we are. We had Jimmy Swaggart going, "There is a river." Woo! Go, and we'd shout in my office. But now I'm a big shot. I don't need that anymore. No, I need it now more than I ever needed it. Come on and clap your hands like you believe in the power of worship. Intimidation has to be dug out of the well of worship. Some of you little Baptists, throw that hand up there. Get loose. Shake your leg. Say hallelujah. Some of you Pentecostals, you're drier. There ain't nothing worse than a dry Pentecostal. You can't say a Pentecostal amen, give me a Baptist nod. If you can't give me a Baptist nod, give me a Presbyterian cough. But let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. You don't have to shout like I shout, but if he's given you life, you owe him praise. Come on, redeem the well of worship. You're not just digging it for you. You're securing a well for your children and your children's children. And the reason we got so many teensicles is because we got so many popsicles. And if teens don't see pops and moms worshiping, they'll never worship.
I know you were touched by that brief clip of Pastor Jensen Franklin. You can order our set and hear the whole message. You need to. It was powerful. But now I get to introduce to you one of my heroes. When I was pastoring a little church in Atlanta, I used to listen to Bishop Dale Bronner on the radio as I was driving into town. And I'm telling you, it was a powerful time in my life. You know, I'd only preached 4 messages when I got called to pastor this church, so I really didn't know what I was doing. And I can't tell you how many times I would study and then gloriously on the way, Bishop Bronner would be preaching on the same topic that I would be trying to bring to that little church in Georgia, and I would be writing notes down as I was driving. I know that's not very safe, but I had to do what I had to do. But you're going to be blessed by this brilliant man of God, this humble man. He goes through the entire Bible, and we find Jesus in every chapter of the Bible, in every book of the Bible. I'm telling you, we need Jesus in our lives, and He is the God of the Old Covenant and the New. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're going to be blessed by Bishop Bronner.
Revelation is not what you hear. Revelation is what you see. You see revelation in your spirit. You see revelation on the inside. And that's why until we get a revelation of Jesus, our testimony is impotent. And this is why the Bible talks about it in Luke chapter 23, that Jesus took the scriptures and He took this Bible, and the Bible says, beginning at Moses, He began to expound to them all of the scriptures, giving them a revelation, because they just thought that it was literature. They thought that it was Old Testament dead history. They thought that it was just the history of a Jewish people. But no, it was about a living Savior. Jesus took the word and brought revelation to it so they could see, no, this is not something that just happened back then. He went back and opened it up, because the Old Testament is revelation concealed. The New Testament is that same truth and revelation revealed. It is the unveiling of this thing. So I believe that He was just went back and if He was there, that He was walking us back through the scriptures, unveiling Himself. Where in Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. In Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, He's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He's a trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, He's our reigning king. In Ezra, He's a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, He's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, He's our Mordecai. In Job, He's our day spring on high and our ever living redeemer. For I know that my redeemer liveth. In Psalms, He's the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want, who makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, He's our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, He's the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, He's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, He's the righteous branch. In Lamentation, He's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, He's the wonderful four-faced man and the wheel in the middle of a wheel. In Daniel, He's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. And you'll have to see that in Hosea, He's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, He's a baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Amos, He's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, He's the mighty to save. In Jonah, He's the great foreign missionary. In Micah, He's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, He's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, He's God's evangelist crying, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, He's the savior. In Zechariah, He's a fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. And in Malachi, He's the son of righteousness rising with healing in His wings. Who is this King of glory? You lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. In Matthew, He's the Messiah. In Mark, He's a wonder worker. In Luke, He's the son of man. And in John, He's the son of God. In Acts, He's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, He's our justifier. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, He is our sanctifier. In Galatians, He's a redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, He's a Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, He's our God who shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Colossians, He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, He's our soon coming King. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, He's our mediator between God and man. In Titus, He's a faithful pastor. In Philemon, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, He's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, He's a great physician. In 1st and 2nd Peter, He's our soon coming shepherd who shall appear with the crown of unfading glory. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, He's love. In Jude, He's the Lord coming with 10,000 of His saints. And in Revelation, He's King of kings and Lord of lords. If it were my grandmother, she would tell you that He's bread in a starving land, water in a dry place, a doctor in a sick room. And she'd begin to tell you that He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's always there. He's Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord my righteousness. He's Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord that sanctifies me. He's Abel's sacrifice. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Abraham's ram in the thickets. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's ladder. He's Judah's scepter. He's Moses' rod. He's Elijah's mantle. He's Elisha's staff. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samuel's horn of oil. He's David's slingshot. He's Isaiah's figs. He's Hezekiah's sundial. He's Peter's shadow. He's Paul's handkerchief and aprons. He's Stephen's signs and wonders. He's John's pearly white city. He is the King of glory. And this same Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Not a weak church, not a divided church, not a sickly church. He's coming back for a triumphant church that is glorious. He's coming back for Mama House. He's coming back for Chattanooga. He's coming back for a unified city. He's coming back for believers that are on fire. He's coming back for a people that are unrelenting in their faith. He's coming back looking for you. And I just want you to know that whenever God is shifting you from one thing into another, that there is a terrible period of discomfort that you go through. Change is very uncomfortable. But God specializes in disturbing the comfortable and then comforting the disturbed. He's a master of working in the lives of people that God has you right in the palm of his hands. And you are a prophetic people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. God's in the horizon. He's on the horizon now of doing some things. God is shifting. He's shifting. He's shifting focus. He's shifting your energies. He's shifting anointings. Because there's a new harvest that God wants to reach. Sons and daughters strung out on meth. They belong in the kingdom of God. People whose lives are broken by divorce. God is for divorced people. He loves them. He'll never give up on you. There's nothing that you can do to make God stop loving you. He shed his blood for us. He's married to the backslider. He loves us, and God is shifting us. The things that worked back in the back that don't work as effectively. But there's a shifting that is happening supernaturally and divinely by the Spirit of God. And I just pray that there is a hunger in your heart to say, God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be in on it, God. I yield myself. I avail myself, God, to say, Lord, I've got to flow with your Spirit because God is a moving thing. He is a moving thing. And he's looking for people that he can count on as he's shifting us. Because he has to bring new patterns and new understandings, fresh anointings, fresh oil to renew us. Because this oil that keeps our fire going. And when he comes, we got to have oil in our lamp. It is a fresh impartation of the Holy Ghost. And I understand because I was a member of a Baptist church, and when I was 14 years old, I hadn't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, but Jesus walked into my bedroom back in the early 70s and transformed my life and baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And in the Baptist church, I didn't know what to do with it, but I fluently began to talk in other tongues. And the anointing of the living God so came in my life. A shy, timid young man yielded to God. One of the first signs of the Holy Ghost is boldness. And I pray in the name of Jesus that a spirit of courage and boldness would rise up in his people, that we will open our mouths and that God will give us wisdom, a wisdom to know what to do, when to do, where to do, and with whom to do what he has anointed for us. Slip one hand up to God in the name of Jesus. Father, may you sharpen the discernment of this, your people. I speak in the name of Jesus, God, that you'll light a fire on the inside of them. Oh God, may you cause your testimonies of what you have done in their lives, God, to be able to flow out with love and mercy and tenderness and compassion. But let there come a boldness, God, because we love, because we love, because we love you and we love them. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will give a wisdom, an uncanny wisdom. You've made us a peculiar people. You've made us a specially anointed people, God. And I pray that from this house, that there will be sparks of fire that will set every place that is disseminated from this place, a conflagration of your anointing, of your spirit, and of your power flowing down. God, I pray that you will fill our mouths with the right things and that you will let us show up at prophetic times to be able to send texts to people, to arrest their attention, to begin to pray, God, to turn our plates down until we have a sensitivity from you, God, to know, God, thank you for breaking our hearts, God, with the things that break your heart so we can love what you love and hate what you hate. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, your people. And I pray, Father, that you will fill us with fresh dreams. Allow us to lift up our eyes from the place where we are, God, and see the capacity, see the capability, see the potential, see the possibility of what you're able to do. We untie your hands today, God. And we declare, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way. Burn in us, God. Oh, God, give us a fresh experience with us. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll begin to restore families, husbands and wives, that you'll begin to restore marriages, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll cause estranged children to come back home. I pray, God, for healing to come to minds, God, for bodies, God, where the enemy has robbing them from the young to the old, to those that are dealing with autism and bipolar disorder, to dementia and Alzheimer's. In the name of Jesus, Father, we declare that the memory of the just is blessed.
My goodness, if that doesn't make you want to run a lap, I don't know what will. Perhaps the greatest message that I've ever heard was preached at Fully Alive by Bishop Bronner, and you only saw just a little bit of both Jensen's message and his. I'm telling you, you need this set. You know, when I was little and my father was on television, people thought we were famous. They thought we were rich. They didn't understand that to be on Christian television, to be on television, it costs money. People don't pay us to be on television. It's people like you that help us stay on the air. We've had stations from all over the country contacting us that want to put us on their programs, but we need people like you to send money, to partner, to believe in what we're doing. At the very least, you can order this conference set. You can download it, and I promise you it'll be a blessing to you. We hope you'll order this set. We hope you'll live free and fully alive, and pray for us here at Avis House. We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Watch us again next week.
Deep within the heart of all of us is the longing to be fully alive. Through the struggles of life, heartache, and loss, it's easy to find ourselves empty, hopeless, and yearning for more meaning to our existence. Can you hear your heart crying out? Can you hear it calling you to be fully alive?
Get your comfort set of messages from Fully Alive online at ronniephillips.org. Order on CD or DVD, download MP3 audio, or stream them online. It's time to live fully alive.
Come experience a service at Abba's House in person any Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Ronnie and our staff would love to meet you and help you live free and fully alive.